Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for Pi Day 3/14/16. The podcast that's grounded for 204 decades. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Jonathan Lochey. John, welcome back to the podcast.
She's my cherry pie.
No copyrighted songs.
I'll shut up.
Don't make me have to pay for them. Now, let's mythologize the news of the bogus. And we start out with a cops behaving badly story, but this one has a happy ending. So this was a woman in Wood County, West Virginia, who was charged with obstruction because she stepped in front of a state police trooper who was trying to shoot her dog.
Yeah, if you've seen the video already, if not, the link is in the story that Shane links. It's just a real shame because you see a dog come up to a cop. I believe it was on a leash.
It was on a chain, and it was at the end of the chain.
Right. So there was no way for this dog, where it was at, to actually in any way assault this cop, but the cop still goes into a stance that we've seen way too many times.
Yep.
And draws it, and then this woman gets in between the dog and the cop, and in the report, the cop said she was raised her arms and attempted to shove him, which is nothing of what happens in the video. She's just there saying, you know, please don't shoot my dog. And then the cop just grabs her and basically throws her to the ground.
Yep. So this is 23-year-old Tiffany Hupp and Trooper Seth Cook, and her husband is the one who took the video, which went viral. According to her attorney, David Schles, I'm not at all sure how to pronounce that, S-C-H-L-E-S, six letters but only one vowel. So anyway, he says, quote, a little chubby white dog ran toward Cook barking. The trooper pulls his gun on the dog and is holding it in a posture that looks like he was prepared to shoot the dog. Tiffany runs in between the cop and the dog. She is just standing there. The officer alleged in the complaint that she raised her arm, but we did stop frame for the jury, and it showed that she was stationary, her arms at her side. All she said was, don't do that, and the trooper grabbed her by the bicep and spun her around, and she ends up falling down.
And to me, the real outrageous part is what happened next. Where once the cops realized they were being filmed, they basically confiscated everyone's cell phones.
Yeah, and that's one thing they were worried about because they were wanting to get the video and they were kind of hoping that the police hadn't erased it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's happened before.
And you would think over the last several years, as more and more of these cops being filmed by people on the street every day, as these news stories have continued to sort of snowball, you would think that this has become more and more of a standard procedure for cops to not do this.
Yeah, but cockroaches don't like the light.
Right.
So Wood County Magistrate Joyce Perkey had appointed Laura Snodgrass to represent Hupp, but Hupp requested a different attorney because Snodgrass is married to a state police trooper, but Perkey denied her request. That's a complete bias there. Public defenders, basically their client is the state, not you, so they're bad enough as it is, but the fact that she was married to a state police trooper should have just completely...
Yeah, it's a huge conflict of interest there.
Yeah. So, Schles learned of the incident in an email that was sent out from a subcommittee of the West Virginia State Bar, and he said, quote, I thought it was outrageous this girl is being charged for standing in her yard, doing nothing but saying, don't shoot my dog, and so he agreed to represent her pro bono.
Well, good on him. I know, obviously, nobody else wanted this case, so...
Yeah. But it's like he says, quote, you're not obstructing an officer under West Virginia law unless you hinder or obstruct an officer who is performing official duties. Pointing a gun at a dog on a chain is not official duties. And as long as someone is acting lawfully, even if it does obstruct an officer, it's not illegal. You have a First Amendment right to say, don't shoot my dog. It is defiant if you want to look at it that way, but it's still a free country.
Mm-hmm. He makes a very important distinction as well, in that just because you possibly could be obstructing an officer, and as I said, if it's not part of their official duties, you've done nothing wrong.
Well, the happy ending is that it only took jurors about 30 minutes to acquit her.
About 29 minutes too long.
Well, it takes time to get in there, get sat down, you know.
I understand.
But she said, quote, I'm glad it's over with. I know it sounds corny, but now I know what justice feels like, and it feels pretty darn good. I've heard stories of people having trouble with the system, and I never thought I would have to go through it because I don't do anything stupid. And if you want to talk about why people's confidence in the police is eroding, Hub said it herself, quote, "I've never had a problem with officers before. I'm a little nervous around them now."
Mm-hmm. And to me, the other big thing with this case is the fact that the cop made a sworn complaint and flat out lied about it.
I mean, it's good that she got acquitted, but I mean, if you and I lied on a complaint like that, it would be perjury. But it's just no accountability. What's going to happen to this cop? He put lives in danger, not just the dogs. He put lives in danger by drawing his gun and pointing it when he didn't have to. And then he committed perjury after the fact to cover for it. What's going to happen to him?
Probably about a 2-week paid vacation. I'm sorry, 2 weeks paid administrative leave.
Yeah, if that. Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. I don't know what it is in recent years, but it seems like the regressive left is just sinking lower and lower. Case in point, leftist protesters who poured urine over libertarian commentator Laura Southern for saying that there are only two genders.
Oh dear. Just when you think the SJWs can't shove their heads up their own buttholes anymore.
Well, and it's just like we've said about so many other things. This is how people behave when they don't believe they're accountable.
Mm-hmm. When you have your own little belief system, and you are so hyper-defensive about it that you can't withstand any sort of criticism or any commentary.
Yeah, they're just like fundies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the video and the article, and this is precisely how I would expect the general reactions of people is, would it be any different than if you or I walked into a Southern Baptist church and screamed, "There is no God."
Yeah. So this happened in downtown Vancouver in British Columbia. There was an anti-fascist protest, and I think that Breitbart did a good job here putting anti-fascist in quotes, because, as we'll see here, they're quite fascist.
They're anti-fascist of ideas they don't like.
Yeah. But Southern decided that she wanted to meet the protesters and engage them in a debate and further the conversation. And, you know, their protests are because she thinks there are only two genders, which the science backs her up on. And the fact that there are two genders does not exclude the possibility of there being ambiguities or androgynous people or hermaphrodites or anything like that. It's still a categorical difference with two genders. And she's also made a lot of comments debunking the idea of rape culture. And for all that, do they actually refute her arguments logically? No, they call her hateful and transphobic. So, like you said, this is all on video. It was recorded by Press for Truth. And she was in the middle of talking with the protesters when one of them sneaked up behind her and poured a bottle of what later turned out to be urine over her. And then there was a scuffle as two men tried to restrain the protester, because apparently she was just pouring it all around. I think she almost hit someone with a bottle at one point.
And what can you really say other than it's disgusting behavior?
Well, I really like Southern's attitude to all this, because she just kind of picked up from there and just started fielding questions again. I think she took a few minutes to either try to dry off or whatever. But of course, a lot of these protesters were wearing masks, which is always a bad sign. You know, that's more like what you'd expect from white supremacists and things like that.
I just thought they put those spooky ghost sheets on their head for Halloween.
So it's not just these protesters all over the web. The regressive left showed how much they're for empathy and tolerance and things like that. When Lauren Southern tweeted, quote, "I was just assaulted in the streets for saying there are only two genders, covering in piss, LMAO, 10 out of 10, good day." You have at Hosley responding, "Ha ha, you fucking deserved it, you piece of fucking trash, LMAO, I'm laughing my queer ass off."
This is when you talk about no accountability, when people can just, you know, it's the old saying, if you were sitting right next to someone, would you actually say that?
Yeah. Oh, but if you say Anita Sarkeesian's wrong, it's harassment and you get your Twitter account suspended.
Well, that's why we have our Twitter Safety Council.
Yeah. Of which Feminist Frequency is a part.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's another one that says, "Good LMFAO, you deserve cancer." Now, you know, if it was the other way around, if people were tweeting this at feminists, the press would be all over it and saying, "Oh, this is bigotry, this is misogyny, this is hateful, we need to stop these people." But the nice thing about Lauren Southern is she doesn't want to be seen as a victim after this. You know, the feminists just love making themselves out to be victims, and she doesn't. She tweeted, quote, "I hope you guys understand that this really isn't that bad. I can take showers and ignore tweets, just exposing regressive nonsense." And she also said, quote, "I could go in and report it to the police. However, I honestly don't know if I want to waste their time. You know, unlike wasting their time by making them escort Anita Sarkeesian around when they didn't believe the death threats for a second."
It's just funny because this is a crowd that supposedly wants to end hate, but we can apparently only, quote-unquote, end hate by hating on those who don't agree with us.
Yep. And she continued, quote, "I just had a freezing and soaking wet walk home and had to take a shower. I didn't die. The police have better things to do with their time. I don't want the two guys who tried to grab her to get in trouble. She poured it on more than just me and nearly hit this guy in the face with a bottle, so two of them went to grab her. She wasn't hurt, but I know how easily men can get blamed for violence, even in situations of self-defense. I want to make sure they will be fine first." You see, that's a little thing we call integrity. So she also said, quote, "The feminist girls all were laughing at me and giving me the middle finger on the street. Guys were screaming at me that maybe that washed the scum off you. Despite their professed feminism, they don't care about women if they have the wrong opinions. And despite their professed concern for violence against women, they don't care if women who disagree with them are physically attacked. You have to see the humor in it. They went to a libertarian event and called everyone fascists while wearing balaclavas, pouring piss on dissenters, and telling them why they shouldn't have the right to free speech. Great job, guys! Fascism defeated."
It's another issue of being no different than, you know, fundamentalists, to where many of these people, they do a very good job of categorizing anybody who isn't exactly in lockstep with them. You know, they categorize them as some type of other, that even when they say they're violence against women, well, women who don't agree with their opinion aren't really, quote-unquote, women.
I guess not. Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. You know, I still find it unbelievable that the president can drop bombs by drone on innocent people, even children, in countries where we aren't at war, without the people descending on the White House with torches and pitchforks.
Our Nobel Peace Prize award-winning president.
Yes. But it seems the dangerous religious cult known as statism knows no bounds. The U.S. drone-bombed 150 people to death in Somalia, and although no one knows exactly who they were, Most of them are sure they must have deserved it.
Because America, damn it.
And this is from Glenn Greenwald again on The Intercept. The Obama administration instantly claimed that the people killed were terrorists and militants, members of the Somali group Al-Shabaab, but provided no evidence to support that assertion.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to provide evidence when you sort of drum-bomb them to death.
Yeah, you kind of blew up everything. Nonetheless, most U.S. media reports contain nothing more than quotes from U.S. officials about what happened, conveyed uncritically and with no skepticism of their accuracy.
No surprise there.
The dead fighters were assembled for what American officials believe was a graduation ceremony and prelude to an imminent attack against American troops, pronounced the New York Times. They must have been doing something wrong. And so Greenwald points out, huge numbers of people today who have absolutely no idea who was killed are certain that they all deserved it. And he cites Murtaza Hussein saying, quote, "We don't know who they are, but luckily they were all bad."
All 150 of those people who just had their lives cut short.
Yep. Bad people. Because he wouldn't have droned them if they were good.
Oh, God. At this point, you can only laugh at some of this.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to laugh when there are 150 people dead, though.
Oh, it's too early in the morning to start drinking yet.
Yeah. So Greenwald says, this particular mass killing is unlikely to get much attention in the U.S. due to, one, the election season obsession with horse race analysis and pressing matters such as the size of Donald Trump's hands. Two, widespread Democratic indifference to the killing of foreigners, where there's no partisan advantage to be had against the GOP from pretending to care. Three, the invisibility of places like Somalia and the implicit devaluing of lives there. I mean, really, if it weren't for status-sane libertarians, why don't you move to Somalia? We wouldn't be mentioning Somalia at all.
And their piracy.
And four, the complete normalization of the model whereby the U.S. president kills whomever he wants, wherever he wants, without regard for any semblance of law, process, accountability, or evidence.
It's insane that we just routinely bomb smaller countries just for the hell of it at this point.
Yeah. And as Greenwald points out, we're not at war with Somalia. Congress has never declared war there, nor has authorized the use of military force.
We killed 150 people in a country we're not at war with. Major wars have been started for far less.
One person was killed and it started World War I.
Here it's just a blanket, run-of-the-mill, it's an everyday doing-your-job type thing, and that's it.
And you also have the Obama administration formally redefining the term militant to mean all military-age males in a strike zone, unless there is explicit intelligence posthumously proving them innocent. So not only is it guilty until proven innocent, we're just not going to get around to even trying to prove you innocent until after you're dead.
Could you imagine if, say, Russia drone-striked?
If Russia did it to Ukraine.
Yeah. Or China did it to South Korea.
And he reiterates what we've talked about before. In the vast majority of cases, 9 out of 10, these drone strikes kill people other than the intended targets.
I mean, you don't kill 150 people without at least a few collateral damaged.
No, all 150 of them were bad.
I didn't realize when they talk about smart bombs that we can redirect how the explosion goes and it magically bypasses the innocent ones.
Now, you might want to be sitting down for this because it'll probably make you dizzy. This is in retaliation, apparently, for U.S. troops in Somalia being attacked. But why are U.S. troops in Somalia to begin with? To prevent U.S. troops from being attacked.
Wait.
Yeah.
Circular logic is circular.
We need to have troops there because if we didn't have troops there, we wouldn't be able to protect the troops who were there.
No. God.
But he closes off, you know, talking about just how normalized this is. I mean, like you said, any other country doing this, and people will be hitting the ceiling. And most countries on the planet don't do this. The U.S. is pretty much the only one. They don't even do it in countries where they're at war, let alone countries where they're not at war. And I mean, really, how is this any different from the fundamentalist Christian argument that if God did something, it must be moral, even slaughtering women and children in the Old Testament?
There isn't any difference.
No difference at all.
Not sure what can you say at this point.
I'll let Greenwald close it off then. So yesterday, the president killed roughly 150 people in a country where the U.S. is not at war. The Pentagon issued a 5-sentence boilerplate statement declaring them all terrorists, and that's pretty much the end of that. Within literally hours, virtually everyone was ready to forget about the whole thing and move on, content in the knowledge, even without a shred of evidence or information about the people killed, that their government and president did the right thing. Now that is a pacified public and malleable media. If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. And now it's time to Bozo Bin this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to New Mexico Attorney General Hector Balderas, who is protesting a bill to decriminalize teen sexting.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, this bill would actually stiffen the penalties for people caught with child pornography, but in the process, they want to be a little sane about it and say, you know, consensual sexting between teens, that's not really what we're concerned about here.
I mean, from all the stories we've covered on the podcast about this, obviously, who knew that 15-year-olds would take advantage of modern technology related to sex?
Well, it's nothing new. It just added the technology, but used to be, you know, you'd go behind the barn and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has always happened. It's just now we've got technological ways of doing it, and apparently when the photons are collected on a sensor and saved as a file, all of a sudden it becomes dangerous child porn.
Because we have to protect the children by locking them away and destroying their lives with the permanent sex offender label for the rest of their life.
So the Attorney General's staff walked out of a hearing in protest on this leniency, and Balderas said, and this is really telling, quote, "I cannot support an amendment that weakens protections for teenagers from predatory activity, creates a dangerous new child exploitation loophole, and places New Mexico's Federal Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force funding in jeopardy." It's funding. It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Yeah, the first two are complete BS. That's number three. That's it.
Because children sexting each other is not predatory, because who's the predator?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a child exploitation loophole, because if they're doing it to themselves, then who's exploiting them?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the funding. Now, the bill is actually pretty tough. I mean, we've spoken out against mandatory minimums before, and this would impose a mandatory 10-year prison sentence on anyone caught with child porn. So that's probably why they felt the need to carve out a specific exemption for teens exchanging lewd photos of themselves.
Right. Which is a shame that it's come to that for somebody to finally have some common sense of this whole subject.
Yeah. Because like you said, we've covered stories like this before. This Reason magazine article cites a few more. I think some of these we might have covered, but there's a 15-year-old in Michigan who faced registration on the sex offender registry because he took a picture of himself on his phone. A 17-year-old in Virginia who became the victim of a predatory law enforcement officer because he exchanged pics with his girlfriend. And the 17-year-old in North Carolina, I know we covered this one, he was accused of sexually exploiting a minor when the minor he was sexually exploiting was himself.
Yep.
And so this article by Robbie Sove says, "It does teenagers no good to treat them like criminals, like the very worst sort of criminals, child pornographers, for exhibiting sexual interest in each other."
What is the big difference between a couple of 16-year-olds exchanging photos themselves and a couple of 19-year-olds?
Yeah. And he closes out, The Attorney General and those who agree with him like to think that child pornographers are the greatest threat to kids, but laws that criminalize normal teen behavior that turn teenagers into sexual predators are a far more menacing threat. A lot of bad laws are written by politicians whose number one priority is think of the children. In the case of teen sexting laws, however, no group is more harmed by this mentality than the children themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line here is, by citing the funding specifically, Balderas has just proven that he cares more about his department's funding than on the well-being of teenagers.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is another issue of, as long as those federal funding dollars from D.C. are tied to a lot of terrible policies, that's why you see it hard even at the state level to get things changed.
Exactly. And that's more than enough to get him named this week's biggest bogon emitter.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplugs Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplugsbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials, and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
And now let's achromatize this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to Bernie Sanders and his disciples surrounding remarks he made during the recent CNN presidential candidates debate.
I was with some young people active in the Black Lives Matter movement. Young lady comes up to me and she says, "You don't understand what police do in certain black communities. You don't understand the degree to which we are terrorized." And I'm not just talking about the horrible shootings that we have seen, which have got to end, and we've got to hold police officers accountable. I'm just talking about everyday activities where police officers are bullying people. So what, to answer your question, I would say, and I think it's similar to what the secretary said, when you're white, you don't know what it's like to be living in a ghetto. You don't know what it's like to be poor. You don't know what it's like to be hassled when you walk down the street or you get dragged out of a car. And I believe that as a nation in the year 2016, we must be firm in making it clear we will end institutional racism and reform a broken criminal justice system.
So the burn victims went into full disinformation mode, as you can see in a recent bogus graphic I made on the Bogosity Facebook page. They claimed that this quote was taken out of context and by Fox News when it was actually quoted by CNN, but I guess they have to blame Fox News for everything. But what they claimed was the full quote was nothing of the kind. Not only were there lots of little differences, they cut out this phrase entirely.
So what, to answer your question, I would say, and I think it's similar to what the secretary said.
And this made it clear that he stopped quoting the Black Lives Matter lady and is giving his own remarks, but the burn victims, not just in this graphic, but in many other places as well, cut this out without so much of an ellipsis and didn't close the quote for another two sentences. That's way beyond the dishonesty we've seen from creationists engaging in quote mining.
Burn, come on down to Florida. I got plenty of really poor white neighborhoods I can come show you around.
Has he never seen a trailer park?
Yeah.
And I think it was Travis who said something to the effect of, you know, bonus points if they also talk about rednecks and white trash.
I guess he decided he needed to give Donald Trump a run for his money for the most asinine statement made so far of the campaign season.
But, of course, it's just crazy conservatives and Fox News junkies complaining about Sanders making these ridiculous and bigoted remarks, right? Wrong. Two mothers of slain black teenagers have also come out against him, as the New York Times reports. And this is Sabrina Fulton, the mother of Trayvon Martin, and Lucia McBath, the mother of Jordan Davis. And they weren't the only ones. There was this huge online backlash from people who were pointing out that, yes, white people also live in dilapidated housing and low-income neighborhoods. And so Sanders tried to clarify his statements by saying, quote, What I meant to say is when you talk about ghettos traditionally, what you're talking about is African-American communities. Hey, way to make it worse, Bernie.
So just black people, they just live in the shitty part of town. All right.
Yeah. He just doubled down on it. So anyway, Fulton said, quote, Senator Sanders is wrong to suggest that the concept of the ghetto is inextricably connected to black America. We need a president who understands black families don't all live in ghettos and who has a plan to end the racial violence that too often plagues families like mine. Of course, technically hers wasn't racial violence, but we covered all that before.
Yeah, that we don't need to.
No need to rehash that. But
yeah.
But, I mean, in her mind it is, and so it's nice to see her having the integrity to come and speak out against Bernie Sanders, you know, for saying this crap.
Yeah. It's this sort of insane, asinine thing you see on the Sanders for President subreddit that was... They're basically trying to rip each other apart over whether they should blame African-Americans for being too stupid to vote for Sanders, or if that would violate some sort of social justice idea.
Yeah.
And it's this extreme paternalism towards blacks that you see in a lot of liberal ideals of, well, we have to lift them up, because otherwise they obviously can't do it themselves.
Yeah, it's infantilization.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what we're seeing happen to women with the feminist movement nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that has to make Bernie Sanders this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Supplies edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Come join the discussion at forum.bogosity.tv and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant in text or audio to podcast@bogosity.tv. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or the QR codes on the YouTube video. You can also become a patron at patreon.bogosity.tv and get the podcast and YouTube videos early and without ads or promos. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jonathan Loche for joining me.
Great to be back.
Until next time, here's a quote from Rod Serling. The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosives and fallout. Suspicion can destroy, and a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all of its own for the children and the children yet unborn. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
Bogosity.
Want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
I think we already have Idiot of the Year 2016 locked up.
I don't know. We've still got a while to the election.